ओम शांति। Today we're going to talk about practical tips for staying in soul consciousness. And I also wanted to share with you some thoughts about how to maintain and sustain the blessings that you have received by being here in Madhuban. But first of all, what does Baba really mean by soul conscious? Baba has used in the Murali, the Avyakt Murali of the 17th, certain words, English words, like purity, royalty, and personality. So how do we interpret those words? Because when Baba speaks to us, saying that these are things that you must develop within yourselves, purity, personality, and royalty. So, how do we understand, what does Baba mean by those words? For example, one interpretation of the word personality is hasti. Hasti is a Hindi word, which really means also celebrity. Celebrity means someone who is talked about, celebrated, someone who has a reputation because they're so special, they're so interesting, they're so extraordinary. It's a hasti. That's how Baba uses the word personality. Otherwise, usually we think of the word personality as interchangeable with sanskaras. But this is not how Baba is meaning it. Personality has to do with your dignity, your sense of dignity. So, as you know, there are also, in this contrast, is necessary to also define what is meant by body consciousness. Body consciousness doesn't mean that you're conscious of your body or not conscious of your body. It's much too simplistic. Body consciousness means false ego. And false ego means that you have a superiority complex or an inferiority complex. Complex or not complex, but complex because it creates trouble in the mind. And as you may remember from the morning class today, and even before Dadi came to the morning class, she was telling the small group that met her before, thinking is not allowed. Of course, Baba says, churn the ocean of knowledge. But that's not called thinking, that's churning. So we have a completely different vocabulary, whether in Hindi or in English or in any other language. So we need to understand very well what is meant by our special use of certain words. Because these words, thinking, churning, personality, royalty, purity, they are all to be interpreted in a very particular way. That how do we Brahmins use these words? Because we have our own language. We have the language of drishti, we have the language of vritti, the language of atmosphere, vibration, attitude, perception, interpretation. All of these are our own languages for our own Brahmin culture. So, body consciousness has to do with thinking that you're greater than you are or less than you are. Soul consciousness is when you've got it right. You know, that you are able to give yourself the right number in the rosary. Can you do that? Everybody says, well, I don't think so. But let us consider it. How do we really develop the skill and the perception to know, am I actually soul conscious? It has a great deal to do with noticing what's happening inside. As you know, Amrit Vela has also been called Drill. You know that, yes? Drill, which Daddy Janki was reminding us about a couple of days ago, that Brahma Baba used to come at 4 in the morning to conduct drill. That means to conduct the Amrit Vela meditation. That is, the commander of the Pandav Shakti army is reviewing the troops. We are the troops, right? And he's seeing whether we're able to have attention. Can we be attentive to our own souls and orient our mind towards Sheep Baba in the soul world at 4 o'clock in the morning, in such a way that there is no tension, no falling asleep, and no waste thoughts? Then if we do that correctly, accurately, effectively, then we would also get a sense, a very good, valid sense of what really is soul consciousness. And as you know, there are many, many interferences. Baba has often said, Maya interferes with yoga. That means it also interferes with soul consciousness. How does it interfere? Is this thinking, this particular kind of thinking that's not allowed? You think in a particular way that casts doubt on your ability to have faith in your own perceptions. And that's where the inferiority complex comes in. You see. So this is body consciousness. Or if you think, well, you know, the other people are falling asleep and they don't seem to be very attentive, then that's body consciousness in the superiority complex stage. Because in that case, you're thinking about what the other people are doing in comparison with yourself and making yourself look good in comparison with your idea of what other people are doing, which you don't know because they're sitting in front of you with their back to you, or they're sitting behind you and you can't see them. So this kind of speculation, this is body conscious thinking. This kind of thinking is not allowed. So it's very important when we're wanting to make ourselves soul conscious on a day-to-day level, throughout the day, whilst doing all the various other things that we do. One thing to observe very carefully in oneself is, am I mentally comparing myself favorably or unfavorably with another person? Because if I am, that's called body conscious thinking, and that's one of the things that's not allowed. In other words, we must observe when we're doing it and stop it. So to be able to stop the mind from going where you don't want it to do, this is called mental discipline. I see. And so we need to be alert in that. Because if we allow ourselves to wander off in those directions, then we are sustaining and intensifying the power of body consciousness and the power of Maya, and we are going to make our spiritual progress, our spiritual pilgrimage, a very difficult journey. And also we may, if we're not careful, find ourselves actually unable to tread the path because we have neglected to develop mental discipline. You see, mental discipline doesn't mean being hard on ourselves. It really means noticing. Just, this is why Daddy has been telling us this season quite a bit. Become antarmukhi. That is, turn your attention towards the inside of your face. When you're on the inside of your face, then your principal sense organs, your eyes, your ears, your nose, there is a kind of distance between you and them. Because body consciousness is when we get swept up by sense perception. We see someone's doing this, someone said this, someone didn't give me drishti when giving me toli or a gift or whatever, and you take it personally. You see? Now why? Is that my dignity? Ask yourself. You know. Because soul consciousness has a great deal to do with this term self-respect. Now, many people are churning on really what is the meaning of self-respect. For example, sometimes Baba says, see yourself in the way that Baba sees you. Because the way that Baba sees you is in terms of your original and eternal purity and sanskaras. This is called your personality, in the sense that I said before of hasti, you know, your dignity. Because if you look at yourself in the mirror, you'll see an ordinary, everyday Kali Yugi person. You see? And then if that hurts, then you would have superiority conflicts. And if it makes you sad, then you have an inferiority complex. You see? And so this is why Baba has given us a third eye, so we can look right through that image. It's only a mask. There's a Kali Yugi mask at that. And it's a heavy disguise. We're so heavily disguised we don't even see our own selves. And this is why Baba and the seniors remind us again and again and again, do you know who you are? You see? Because first of all, we know absolutely certainly, there's absolutely impossible to recognize God unless you are a very high quality soul. You know that, yes? It's very, very difficult to recognize God. You must have attempted to give the knowledge to an awful lot of people. And for you, you say, oh yes, Baba, you know. Immediately, yes, Baba, and me and Baba, you know. And for other people, you know, they can't get it. What is it that makes it possible for us to recognize Baba, you see, which Baba has from time to time insisted that this is the key element in a Brahman soul that distinguishes that Brahman soul from all souls who are not Brahman souls. And that is, you can recognize the unrecognizable. You see, because Baba is invisible. You know, as we heard today, just a star, you see. So someone who is a Brahman soul, you put a star in front of that soul, they wake up. They say, this is it. And the other people say, what is it? You see. So this is our first level of dignity, first level of self-respect. And the second is that we have an instinct for purity. Even though we may have plenty of negative sanskaras and karmic accounts and attractions and the whole bit, but even with all of that going on, if you ask yourself really, truly, honestly, when your back's against the wall, what you choose is purity. So one of the things that is an obstacle for the self, which pushes us into the inferiority style of body consciousness, is self-doubt. We get self-doubt when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see the reflection of an ordinary Kali Yugi person and we say, why me? maybe he made a mistake. You know, didn't he know my weaknesses and all of these things? Well, wake up. He knows very well. But he knows you in ways that you don't know you. And one of the specialities of God, which is even mentioned in some of the scriptures, is that he comes to tell you who you are, because you don't know who you are. And in fact, every day in the Murali, and especially on 17th of October, the Avyakta Murali, which was specially for double foreigners, which we all experienced in Om Shanti Bhavan, how incredibly complimentary Baba was. Did you notice that? And how, if you look at yourself, there'll be a kind of pull inside. On the one hand, you feel very good that he's thinking of you and talking of you like that. And then on the other hand, you will say, well, I don't know if I really am at that level that Baba is talking about, you see. So this is the body conscious intellect talking. The soul conscious intellect listens to what Baba says, and a number of things must be taking place. One is to take it in, to take it right into your heart, the extent and intensity to which Baba loves me personally, and how Baba sees me in my purity, my royalty, my personality. And they're very beautiful words which he said, you know, if ever you're in any kind of trouble, you know, have the nine jewels. That means me, God, plus the eight powers. And as Daddy Jenki beautifully put it, just put the zero in between the one and the eight, and there you are, in the 108. It's very simple, but it's very subtle, you see. And so again and again, we must notice, am I holding myself as a zero between the one and the eight? Or am I becoming a one, you see? Because if I become I, the egomaniac, then I become 118, which is a little bit out of the 108. You know, it's just not the right side of that border between the numbers. You're in or you're not in. So when we become 118, it doesn't work. It's not the right configuration. I have to be 108 between the powers and the one. And allowing myself to be close to Baba, you see. When we have a doubt, oh, Baba probably doesn't like me because blah, 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 blah. You have your long list of analyzed speculations. They're all speculations, you see. Because if you would actually go to Baba and say, Baba, do you love me? He'll say, what are you talking about? Don't I tell you every day? How can you have a doubt? That doubt is Maya, which arises with the analytical thinking, where you observe something, small thing, and you make it into some big thing, and then you make yourself miserable with it, and then you have to spend several days to get out of it, you see, which is sometimes referred to as the spider getting trapped in his own web. So this is how body consciousness works. And as you know from today's Murali's point, that this is a very steep path. And when you're climbing a very high mountain, as you get towards the summit, it gets very difficult because it's very steep and you can slip very easily. So basically what we are receiving as special blessings for our time here in Madhuban is the opportunity and the experience of being made very, very attentive in our spiritual practice. Part of soul consciousness is to maintain the balance between remembrance and service. One of the difficulties that happens to people when they return to their places is you feel the pressure and obligation to fulfill certain service requirements. Do you feel that? Yes, no? Not saying. Yes, huh? Hmm. And so this also is a kind of Maya. Because the reality of our purity, royalty, and personality is Baba has told us, requested us, invited us to be his instruments. And we have said yes. So together with the word instrument, there's also been in today's Murali the word responsibility which came up. Be a serviceable soul who takes up the responsibility of service. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean I have to dot, 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 whatever the thing is, you see. Because as soon as we get the feeling I have to, we go out of balance. We go into body consciousness, and soul consciousness, the subtlety, the noticing, the balance, all these things run away. And we become in that 118 situation, or just one, you know. And that's part of the superiority complex, which says, you know, God has given me a task, and so I'm going to do it without him. Or sometimes we even fall into the trap of saying, well, I don't want to bother him. Yeah? It's a very big sanskar. Oh, I don't want to bother you, so I didn't give you the information. It's nothing to do with bothering, you know. It's this sort of mix-up of inferiority, superiority, you see. You have superiority that you think you can do it yourself, and inferiority that you don't think you can talk about it to him. Mixed up. So both sides of this bad penny of body consciousness or false ego operate together. And soul consciousness is where I know who I am and I know who I belong to. So part of the development of soul consciousness is intensifying that feeling of belonging to Baba, where belonging means I have complete accessibility. And Baba had said, anytime anything comes up, just from your heart, say the word Baba. Do you remember that? And actually he said that many, many times. And when you get into real big trouble or real big danger, you may have experienced doing that, saying Baba, and immediately he's there and the danger is gone. But we also need to do that at those times where it's not such a big thing, and so we say, well, I will do it, and then we push Baba out. So some people have said ego means edging God out, which is quite a good, you know, description of it. Because we have an ambivalent relationship with God. You know? Ambivalent in the sense that we don't want to be like devotees, you know, down on the ground, or I am, you know, a hopeless sinner, because Baba has raised us up and made us into Brahmins and said, now become like me. So sometimes the ego of a superiority nature says, oh, well, I'm equal to God, so I can do anything. That doesn't last too long, because there's plenty of sanskaras of I'm not good enough. Do you know that one? You feel that. And this word enough, you see, every time you experience the word enough, I'm not good enough, bad enough, fast enough, thin enough, fat enough, whatever the thing is, whenever we use the word enough, immediately put up a red flag, because that word is a signal that there's body consciousness going on of the inferiority type. And then, you see, another very important expression that's a trigger is, I don't know. And in Hindi, the word for I don't know is pata nahi. Pata nahi. I don't know, I don't know. And pata nahi also means is there are no leaves. No leaves. You know, on the tree there are leaves. So imagine your kalpa tree with all its leaves falling down every time you say, I don't know, pata nahi, pata nahi. It's one of Daddy Gulzar's points, which is a lovely one. You see. So every time you say, I don't know, it's like you're negating what you know. Because you are Baba's children, Baba's students, and he has told you, so you know. Yeah? You say, I don't know, it means doubt. You know very well your soul. You know very well Baba's invited you to become his instrument. You know very well that he sees you as, you know, deity souls, deity sovereign souls. And so our self-respect means to respect that vision which Baba has for me. If I am coming along with this inferiority complex, it's actually that I am negating, disrespecting, and doubting all these things which Baba is affirming about me. And it's also like a superiority complex, because we're saying, I know better than God. I know that he doesn't know that I'm no good. You know, you see how the inferiority and the superiority conspire together to completely annihilate your spiritual development. And so it's really this ego that is body consciousness, you see. Nothing to do with whether or not you're conscious of your body, or whether or not you have an experience that you are separate from your physical body. Those experiences are nice, but the real work of becoming bodiless, egoless, viceless is not really about distinguishing yourself in terms of whether or not you had an experience, but much more, it is an attitude. And if you take these three very famous last words of Baba, bodiless, egoless, and viceless, they all mean the same thing. You see? So egoless doesn't mean that you're in a state of sort of self-denial and over-humility and putting yourself down. That's not humility. But the best word, which we're hearing again and again, is self-respect. Respect I, the soul. Not the I, this I, but the zero. I, the soul, not I, the body. You know? And respecting I, the soul, I, the deity soul, the Brahman soul. The soul who is merged in the heart of Baba. And we must remember that Baba has given us his company, and he has invited us to spend all day and all night, every day and every night, with him. And there's this very famous song that we hear in the Murlis from time to time, I eat with you. So when you go for lunch after this, you know, eat with Baba. You're eating in Baba's house, from Baba's bandara, Baba's kitchen. And then where you sit down, there may be a lot of people sitting next to you, in front of you, but in between there's a little space. Yeah? Put him. He's very small. Put him there. Put Bab Dada there, you see. Because one of the things that Baba liked very much on the 17th was everybody's hands shot up when it was a question of, do you like Brahma Baba? Everybody went like this. And then other questions, it's more like this. You put your hand up in such a way that nobody knows. Even you don't know whether it went up or not. But Brahma Baba, it was straight elbows, you know. And so that's a very powerful thing. It's a spontaneous behavior that came from your heart, which is beyond this analytical thinking, which has all kinds of ways of finding out how to make out that you're not okay, or everybody else is not okay, or the drama's not okay. This kind of thinking, this intellectualizing, which is very body conscious. And so the heart, the depth of your being, has deep love for Brahma Baba, Avyakt Baba, because you have seen how Shiva Baba's teachings are translated into a person, a human being, and demonstrated. And now we see that physically in front of us with the dadis. And whenever you see somebody embodying what your aspirations are, you love them very deeply. Because the one thing you like is truth, isn't it? Anybody doesn't like truth? No. Couldn't sit here if you don't like truth, you know. What is truth? Truth means real. And Baba has said real has these two sides to it. Royal. If you're Spanish, you know real is anyway royal. And then it means authentic, real, pure. A pure diamond, a pure person. So this ambivalent feeling we have, that on the one hand, you really, really want to be real, you really like people who are real, and at the same time, there is this other thing, which is this pull towards what's unreal. You see? Almost as if we are afraid to vote for the real. Because we've been so used to the unreal for so long, in this birth, for many births. And any time you see any Brahman being slightly body conscious, your analytical mind says, ah, it's not real, the whole thing's false, this one's body conscious, everything is no good, Baba is not real, you see. You leap very carefully, like the monkeys, from one point to the other, like they go from tree to tree. But which don't have any valid connection. Because Baba has said very clearly that if you see someone being body conscious, then you know very well it's under another influence and charity begins at home. You see? So charity begins at home is a feeling that comes from your heart, which is kind of a real part in yourself that says, let me look at that soul in their soul consciousness and in their purity, their personality, their royalty. Because as the way is that I look at someone, that is how they become. This is called charity begins at home. Home means us. The other Brahmins is called home. And so we don't give teachings to each other because we all know all the knowledge anyway. And if somebody starts telling you, oh, you have to be soul conscious, you feel greatly insulted, don't you? But at the same time, if somebody looks at you and sees your reality, which is one of the specialities of Dadi Prakash Mani, she has such a penetrating eye, she goes right to the essence of who you are. And when you feel seen like that, it makes you become like that. This is the power of the pure soul-conscious drishti. So When we are being asked to practice being soul conscious, we have to think about all these practical elements and distinguish carefully when I'm using the body conscious intellect to analyze myself into a bad situation and create a vision of the world that is very unpleasant based on criticism, you see. Or I can use the soul conscious intellect, which gathers up the relevant points that Baba has been telling us constantly for years and years, and apply them accurately to see the real truth and the real essence of a situation, and see how the drama is playing in a very beautiful way. You see how that's different, you know? And in order to make this into a natural state, it's very necessary for us to meditate. The drill, you know? Not the experience, the drill. Meditation as, you know, waiting under a tree hoping the apples are going to fall into your lap is not very mature, really. Meditation as a drill, as an attitude. Let me make myself, let me practice to remind myself and make myself aware of myself as a soul. Bring myself into my internalized stage. Affirm what Baba has told me. Respect myself in the way that Baba is looking at me. Respect also means look back, you know. Look back towards the self and see myself as Baba sees me, you see. Because all of these attitudes, they are also thoughts, you know. Poses that we adopt, and they produce our pathway forward, you see. Because they're steps that we take, internal, mental, intellectual steps that we choose, you know. Even experiences that we have, we can say these are choices. If I do the things that Baba is telling me to do, then I'm choosing to put myself in a situation where an experience would be the natural consequence of the attitude and steps that I'm taking. But if I sit there complaining that I'm not having an experience, you know, I'm going to remain like that. That's a choice. It's an attitude. It's a step, you see. It's body conscious. If we think, oh, all these other people are having experiences and I'm not, it means we didn't understand what the drill is, what the work is, you see. Because soul consciousness is a skill, along with being an attitude. So we are learning again and again how to bring ourselves into a state of soul consciousness. We need to do a lot of experimenting. And so taking time to sit in meditation or adopt a soul conscious pose very consciously when we're doing certain activities. And one thing that many people forget is before we do anything, meditate. Even if it's only for a couple of moments, before we open our mouth, become Om Shanti, become centered, become soul conscious, and then proceed. You see, it's very, very helpful. It establishes the atmosphere. It creates the environment within which our soul-conscious sanskaras will dominate. If we don't do that, then by default, we operate on the basis of our body-conscious sanskaras. Because Baba has reminded us about the cycle. And when we're in our soul conscious stage, then our golden aged, high quality sanskaras are going to be operating. They're going to be switched on. They're going to be awake. And the body conscious sanskaras are going to be asleep. Before you do things, and then when they've finished, just take a moment to ask yourself, okay, am I back to my baseline, my Om Shanti? Let me snuggle in between the 1 and the 8 for a moment, you know, and just be that little teddy bear, yeah, in between. You know how a little cat is when they're curled up? They're basically like a 0. So you just snuggle in between Baba and the 8 powers. Find out all kinds of images that are related to the Gyan, the things which Baba has said, that confirm to you who you are, you see. We don't have to have constantly an adversarial relationship with the so-called outside world, because that's a fear-based attitude. And many people have that residually from life in Kali Yuga, you know, even before you come into Gyan. But we need to be free from fears, because fear is a vice. Also, aside from fear being a vice, we can also look at fear as a fact. You know, there is fear. There is danger, there is fear. Something or another. You have fear of this and fear of that. Everybody has fear of something or another. Some people have fear of computers, some people have fear of daddies, some people have fear of Baba, some people have fear of buses, you know. All sorts of things are there. But these things, these fears, they have to be faced. So we use one of those powers, the power to face, to work with our fears. Secondly, two things on either side of fear, two options that we have when fear is there. Either we can be courageous, or we can be cowardly. Fear is a fact. But if I take a step of cowardice, how does that fit with my self-respect? We wouldn't have any. We would have to create some situation where we are completely disconnected with ourself. Because if we do an act of cowardice or moral cowardice, it destroys our possibility to sustain our soul consciousness. And Baba has often said, take a step of courage and Baba automatically gives you 1,000 steps of help. So how could we possibly take a step of cowardice only when we're already very body conscious and very disconnected with Baba? So that's one of those situations where we have to just from the heart say, Baba, bring Baba into the picture. Then it becomes possible to take a step of courage, which sustains our self-respect. When you are at the other side of having taken a step of courage, you feel very good. You feel very close to Baba, you see. And this is one of the ingredients that builds faith. Once you've understood that as an instrument of Baba, if you will do anything, whatever Baba asks you to do, whether it's possible or impossible, generally it's impossible, just with faith, say yes, and then Baba will carry you, you see, carry you across. And this is why we find the really soul-conscious Brahmins doing things that are not humanly possible, isn't it? Or sometimes you experience that Baba wants to get something done through you. He'll make you forget that you don't know that you can't do that. You know? And you'll do it. But you know that you can't do it. You see? But it happened. And so then you have to very accurately understand that Baba did it. And be very careful not to take any credit for it. Because you didn't do it. You couldn't do it. Sometimes we take credit for it. And that then becomes that superiority complex. That body consciousness that says, well, I don't need God. Actually, God did it. But he is the one who gets everything done and hides himself. But we must make sure that we are sufficiently soul conscious and subtle that when he's doing something, we notice, hey, Baba, you're getting something done through me. Let me be as clean and clear as possible so there's no, you know, no interference, no static, nothing, that I'm fully cooperative as the instrument. And of course, you experience enormous happiness when such things have taken place. And you also experience great wonder that how is this thing possible? This is definitely Baba's wonder that he got this done, because we know we can't do. The circumstances miraculously arranged themselves. What is this? This is Baba's doing. And so what we have to do in such situations is draw the attention of people to Baba. Yeah? One of the aspects of body consciousness is I did it, I have to do it, or I can't do it. You know, any of these is that 118 thing, you know, that pushes us out of that special rosary. I have to make myself really into a zero and allow the powers and the one to do their work, you see. And so we must eliminate from our vocabulary this thought that I did it, I can't do it, I have to do it. Because the truth is, we can't do anything. But the truth also is, we must work on ourselves, we must practice to be soul conscious. That we can do, that we must do. But transforming the world into heaven, this is actually outside of our power. If it were possible for us to do, we would have done it a long time ago. You know? But the love of Baba for us, which is another thing to really acknowledge, that he comes and says, hey, you, come, I want to work through you. It's a very great honor and privilege, you see. So, being aware of oneself as Baba's instrument, we have to look at ourselves, not that I belong to me, but I belong to Baba. You see, so Baba uses me, and then I have to realize the importance of the conversation between myself and Baba, the development of the relationship, the including Baba in all of the things that I get involved in doing, you see, so that I can really make myself into the zero and snuggle in there between the one and the eight and invite Baba. Now, Baba, whatever I'm doing, it's on godly service only. You remember that expression? Used to be when the Muralis used to come by mail, there was an envelope and it said, on godly service only. You see, so we are also like that, on godly service only. And so our dignity is that I do not work for anyone, I work for God. You know? And sometimes people get confused. Should I do this thing? Should I do that thing? In body consciousness, we think I'm doing for me, or I have to do for you, or you get impressed by people, and you get pulled into doing for other people, which creates karmic accounts. So soul consciousness means if somebody's asking me to do something, does it fit with my policy that I am on godly service? Is this a form of cooperation for some godly task, or is it somebody wanting to use me for their own thing? You see, because if I do that, then I'm creating karmic accounts and I'm a little bit distancing myself from Baba because I told him I'm available for him and then I go off with other people. And so I have to check, you know, that everything I do, is it going to advance Baba's task? Is it going to help people to understand who Baba is so that they create their fortune? Or is it going to distract me from my real pilgrimage of remembrance and my participation in the godly task? And there are many balances involved in this, because we have to balance our intention to be always on godly service and to understand the various responsibilities that we have. Because soul consciousness also means to understand our responsibilities accurately and carry them out in such a way that we are discharging our responsibilities, laukic, alaukic, whatever it is, and that in the discharging of our responsibilities, we are fulfilling obligations and thereby moving ourselves forward. Because if we don't fulfill an obligation, then we come into a karmic bondage. And if we do something that somebody wants that we don't have to do, then we come into a karmic bondage. So our body conscious analytical intellect will put us into those traps. And we'll think, oh, you know, I have to do this for this one, I have to do that for that one. But no, that's my ego talking. But if somebody is doing something for Baba and is offering me a chance to go ahead and participate in that, and I discern that, yeah, this is good for everyone, move ahead. Then I have lokic responsibilities. And in the lokic responsibilities also, sometimes they want too much from me, more than is the duty. And I have to discern and make sure I will fulfill my duty, but I won't do more than my duty. I won't do less than my duty. Body conscious intellect makes us, you know, avoid fulfilling our responsibilities or overdoing it and puts us into bondage. Soul conscious intellect understands subtly, intuitively, according to Srimat, which is our great guide, what we have to do, what we don't have to do. You know? So these are a kind of smorgasbord of thoughts that can help us to move our soul consciousness forward. And you can think on your own of all sorts of other points, especially look closely at this season's Avyak Murlis, because they're full of pointers for exactly what Baba is after at this time. So let's have a few moments of meditation. Om Shanti.